الحمد لله رب العالمين،
وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. مع بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Special salams to those who are traveling. There's a sister who's traveling from Mali who came to America. Assalamu alaikum, marhaban bikum, Ilya. Nice to have you in America and visit us and bring barakah here. Alhamdulillah. I'll get back to you about your questions actually privately later. But alhamdulillah, nice to have you in the majlis, inshallah. Even though it's online, alhamdulillah, it's nice to know when there are visitors online too, because it just adds to the barakah of the majlis, alhamdulillah. So there's a couple of precepts I wanted to mention before going into our topic of discussion for today. One of them is actually a saying from the ulama, and the other is a hadith, inshallah. So the ulama, they say that مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ تَعْظِيمُهُ بَعْدَ أَلْفِ مَرَّةٍ كَتَعْظِيمِهِ فِي أَوَّلِ مَرَّةٍ. Whoever does not have esteem for, and they're this, by this ta'zim, they mean for a piece of knowledge. So whoever does not have esteem for a piece of knowledge on the thousandth time they heard it, as they heard it the first time, then they're not a person of ilm. They're not a seeker of knowledge. So this is a precept that we need to remember. Because in our seeking knowledge, we will, of course, hear things that we have heard over and over again. But it's not from the adab to kind of turn our ears off or, you know, think that we can wander in our mind just because we heard it. In fact, we should have that same dhawq from the first time. And it's a sign that we really esteem knowledge. So it's a precept that we need to keep in mind. And it's a reminder to myself as well, because the two subjects that I picked for today, it's something we hear over and over. It's siddiq and sabr. But so I wanted to remind ourselves of that first. And also juxtapose that with a hadith where in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man humani la yashba'ani, man humun fil ilmi la yashba'u minhu, wa man humun fil dunya la yashba'u minha." So there are two people of avarice, and they are never surfeited with their greed. One is a seeker of knowledge. They will never be satiated with this search for knowledge. And the person who desires dunya, they will never be satiated with the dunya. And obviously what this indicates is that we want to be of the former. We want to be of those who seek knowledge, because there's no end to it as well. It's actually a ni'mah that there's no end to it. Can you imagine? I mean, subhanAllah, how could there be an end? We're talking about knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator. So with every new piece of knowledge we get this incredible dhawq. Like, we can use the analogy we have in the dunya of a scrumptious new feeling of tasting something new. I was trying to get that across last week with the pie I gave you. I don't know if some of you, I wish Rafa was there. I'd like to have more responses to the pie I made. Because actually when I make it, I'm so happy that I'm making something that will not add to your toxic burden, because I use stevia. And also, it's a pie, by the way, though, for those who weren't there. It just, I love making it because it's beautiful to look at. You know, even though you might not like cream cheese or cream cheese cake, but because, or the fruits that I put in there, it's just beautiful to look at, and I enjoy making it. And so hopefully you get that when you eat it as well. And so those kinds of dhawq, you know, that taste you get when you experience something new. So we should have that with every piece of knowledge, and obviously much, much more so. It's ineffable. We can't explain what that feels like. That that's how the ulama, this is why when we ask them, what should we make dua, what should we pray for you, they always say ma'rifah, you know, increase in knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no end to it. And the delicacy or scrumptuous, taste, you can hardly describe it, but the feeling, the states that you get increase with increase in knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. So those are the two precepts we wanted to start off with, because what we're going to discuss are things that we hear commonly. Who has not heard about siddiq? Who has not heard about sabr? These are subjects we hear from when we're little, that this is again and again in the Quran al-Kareem and in durus. We hear this from various teachers throughout our life. So from Huquq al-Tasawwuf, from Abd al-Qadir Isa, rahimahullah, who died, it's a contemporary scholar, who died in 1991, from Halab, Aleppo, not too far from Idlib, right? Okay, mashallah. We have natives of Idlib here, alhamdulillah. So we'll take some hikam from him, from his book, inshallah. So about siddiq, so we say this often, that al-fadlu man sadaqa la man sabaqa. And I say that particularly in my case, to remind ourselves that sincerity is open for anyone. Don't think that just because someone got a head start before you in something that you can't catch up. It's the one who has sincerity in one moment could outperform or outrace or overcome someone who's been there before. So when you find out that I've been a student for a while, it doesn't mean anything. It's just history. That's all. But anyone can have come into seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come into the tariqah or their path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them tawfiq, and in a moment they could surpass everyone before them. That is the nature of this deen, that Allah can give it to whomever He wishes. It's the closest thing to getting knowledge by osmosis there is, because we have seen it. Miraculous. There are stories, actually, of students in circles of sacred knowledge in the past who were not perhaps given the aql, the intelligence, but just with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to surpass their forebearers. And there are many stories like that. So it's open, this path is open for anyone. And so one of the signs of tawfiq is sincerity. So this is what we want to cover. Abul Qasim al-Qushayri, rahimahullah, he defines sincerity as sincerity is to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience and purpose. And for one, to intend by his act of obedience to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else, such as acting in ostentation for the creation. So that's a dead giveaway that this is not sincerity. If we're catching ourselves and watching and worried about what people say in that action that we're about to do, then wali'adhu billah, we don't want that route, because this is the opposite of sincerity. To gain the good praise of people, to love the lauding of the creation, or any other thing besides drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's correct to say that sincerity is to purify the act from taking notice of the creation. So, as being part of the subcontinent culture, I feel I can talk about this, being amongst its members. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and prevent us from having these kinds of thoughts. But when we should check our niyyah, because it's I see this often, that children from this subcontinent culture, they will be told how to behave at parties and gatherings. And their parents are very, very precise and particular about it. So much that the kids get anxiety and they tend to not want to go to these parties because of all these rules. But subhanAllah, and most of them are unfortunately superficial rules, like what you can't say to this auntie or that auntie. And sometimes, alhamdulillah, there are good, based on the sunnah. But unfortunately, a lot of them are just rules that were caught into the culture. And we should only have one definition of culture, which is our deen. Al-Islam is our culture. But we're talking about the subcontinent culture in terms of the dunyawi realm. There's things that creeped in and mixed in there. So there's confusion amongst the youth about which part is the Islamic culture and which part is, you know, this culture that my parents are telling me. And this causes a schism. And it makes them ultimately not want to go to these parties because there's so many rules and it doesn't make sense sometimes. So I don't blame the kids for not wanting to go to parties when these rules are not based on. I'll be the first one to support children who don't want to go to these parties because these rules are not based on Islamic culture. They're just haphazard rules from the dunyawi aspect of the subcontinent culture. So, but if you're going to be that particular and precise about such rules, obviously let it be from the deen. And then, inshallah, you know, kids are the first to pick up on hypocrisy. So if the parents are themselves following these rules at home in their private, then they'll be the first ones to be accustomed to this in private and in public. And then they won't have that schism, inshallah. So this is what we want in terms of siddiq. And so more examples from Abu Umama. A man once approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "What is your view of a man who fights to obtain reward and good mention? What shall he obtain?" "Nothing," the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said thrice. "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts no deed unless it is sincere and is for seeking his countenance." So it should be purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another reminder from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Indeed, Allah does not look at your bodies or forms, rather he looks at your hearts." From Shaddad ibn Aus radiallahu anhu, who stated that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "He who shows off in his fast has committed idolatry. He who shows off in his prayer has committed idolatry. He who shows off in his charity has committed idolatry." This is so much so, wali'adhu billah, that the ulama even say, if you're doing, for instance, if you're not prone to doing nafila, extra prayers, don't think that when you go to the masjid, you have to do more just because people are watching. These are signs that we're not practicing siddiq. So just be natural. If obviously, if you are doing it in your private life, then go ahead. That's your natural state. Continue. But the rules in adab are actually the opposite. Usually when you're with people, there's more adab to relate to them. When you go to people's home, you're supposed to engage and talk with them. So you don't engage in much ibadah because there is that nafsi problem there. Are we doing it just for ostentatious reward? Because we could obviously do that at home and you're in someone's house. They want your company. So that has more of a right. So these kinds of things. From Mahmud ibn Lubayt, radiallahu anhu, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and said, "O people, beware of the secret idolatry." The companions inquired, "Ya Rasulullah, what is secret idolatry?" He replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "It's when a man stands up to pray, striving to adorn his prayer when the people look at him. That is hidden idolatry." He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "That which I fear most for you is minor idolatry." The companions inquired, "What is minor idolatry, Ya Rasulullah?" "It is ostentation." So again, over and over, we have this reminder from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From Sahil ibn Abdullah Tustari, rahimahullah, he was once asked, "What is the most severe thing upon the ego?" So here we get an idea of how really siddiq is a sword, if we could, inshallah, actualize it. So he said, "The most severe thing upon the ego is sincerity, because the ego has no portion in it." Abu Sulaiman ad-Darani, rahimahullah, said, "When the servant is sincere, much of whispers, waswas, and ostentation will be severed from him." Ibn Ajiba, rahimahullah, said in his commentary on the Hikam of Ibn Ata'illah, As-Sikandari, rahimahullah, "Actions are lifeless forms, but their spirit is the presence of sincerity within them." Just like the soul is what gives life to the jism, to the body, it's siddiq which gives life to the actions that we do. A poet said, all of them are worshiping out of fear of the fire, and they see salvation a great portion. Or they worship in order to reside in paradise and go about in gardens drinking from the salsabil. I have no opinion regarding either paradise or the fire, for I seek no other in my love. So this is like the, like Rabia al-Adawiyya, radiallahu anha, she said, I don't worship you out of fear for your hellfire or desire for your paradise, but only because of your deserving it, because of divine, because of your beatific vision to desire this. So this is the much higher, the elite of the elite. This is the true siddiq. And then moving on now then to sabr. So the definition of sabr, the Noon and Misri, rahimahullah, he said, patience is to be far removed from sins, to be tranquil when swallowing the distress of affliction, and to manifest wealth when poverty descends. Sayyid Jurjani, rahimahullah, mentioned in his definitions, patience. It is to abandon complaint to other than Allah of the pain of affliction. So this is a very important definition. But we have to keep the qualification in mind that this doesn't negate that we can, during affliction or tribulation, that we don't ask nasiha, because there the niyyah is to gain help and how to best handle this. That sometimes we need from the ulama. So that is not what it's the meaning here. To complain to other than Allah means, you notice people who complain, it's not just one person they're asking. If you're asking the ulama, that's khair. In fact, that's encouraged, because we want the best route to how to handle this. But if we find ourselves, yeah, we don't want to be in this state, but if there are people who would ask one person and then they go to another person, and it's usually all of their friends that they're complaining, ultimately what they're looking for is attention, which they will never be satiated with, because it's they're not going to the right source that can solve this entire problem. A man saw someone complaining to another of his poverty and need. He said to him, oh, you, are you complaining about the one who shows you mercy to one who does not show you mercy? So we're never going to be satiated. This is why those people who complain to their friends keep going to another friend and another friend and another friend, because they can ultimately never help them. The alim can help you, because he's speaking as a vessel, a deputy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to go from one person of the dunya, one lay person to another person, is not going to satisfy these complaints. If you're denuded by trial, be patient like one of nobility, for he knows you best. If you complain to the son of Adam, you're only complaining about the merciful to one who does not show mercy. He who has inherited the invitation and struggle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be without fail afflicted with that which afflicted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is to be called a liar, to being fought, and to being injured. Because when we look at the seerah, none of us can say that we have even an iota of hardship or sacrifice, as he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation, had himself. Patience against acts of disobedience is struggling against the ego and its caprices. And patience for afflictions is, since the abode of this world is one of tests and afflictions, Allah tries the faith of his servants with various problems. And as we know, it's a way to cleanse the ranks of the believers if we find ourselves in affliction. And for the arifin, it's to elevate their ranks. So we should keep that in mind. We should never utter on our tongues if we see those of nobility in the ummah whom we know to be knowledgeable, our scholars, awliya, and so on. If we looked with a magnifying glass at their life, we'll find much, much tribulation. But that is because they can handle it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them that portion that is sent upon the earth because they handle it with adab. So it, for them, it's to elevate. And for the rest of us, both cases, it's a bounty for a mu'min to have an affliction. because we're either getting erased of the sins if we're common from amongst the laity, and when we see it amongst the arifin and the awliya, it's to elevate their status. From Abu Musa al-Ashari, radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one is more patient with injury than one hears than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Partners are taken with him in worship, and a child is ascribed to him, yet he gives them well-being and provides for them still. So this is a beautiful statement by Abu Musa al-Ashari, radiallahu anhu. If you look at all these complaints that we ourselves have, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts up with all of this and much more, and continues to have his mercy on the vast of his creation, when the vast majority of creation do not even believe in him. وَلِيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. When the son of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu an said, Allah loved to take him, and I seek refuge with Allah from having... When his son passed away, this is what he said, Allah loved to take him, and I seek refuge with Allah from having love of something that goes against what Allah loves. So this was his response when his son died. So obviously this is at the highest level, the elite of the elite. This is probably, one could say, the hardest affliction that could hit anyone, to have to bury a child. So here, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anhi, this was his response, that Allah loved to take him, and I seek refuge with Allah from having love of something that goes against what Allah loves. Also, Abu Yazid al-Bustami, he was heard to say in his munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Uridu la urid, that, Ya Allah, I want not to want. This is a very high maqam, no doubt, to not want any, to not have any desire. But then the higher ranking is this, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah, he said, Uridu ma tha turid, I want whatever you want. So we reflect on that. That is the highest state. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to actualize these hikam. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma hu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma hu ahlu. جزا الله أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومعه أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة